grades, the language you always wanted to learn, statistics for your exam on Wednesday, Greek and Hebrew when you're going to seminary, even skills. Plug in and like that. Now you're able to fly an airplane, perform open heart surgery. Some people apparently think that that's how it is with the Spirit. I think if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit just kind of downloads everything you need to know. Don't worry. It's got you covered. Instant. Of course, there's no wires involved. It's some kind of mystical download. And they back that idea up with Scripture. Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And lo and behold, what happened with Peter before the Jewish council in Acts 4:8. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he spoke. So, you don't need to study your Bible. Seminary? Oh, that just produces men who don't know how to relate to real people. But that's overlooking a couple of things. First of all, the passage from Luke where Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Verse 11 says, do not be anxious. He doesn't say, don't study, don't learn. Besides, what was Jesus doing the whole time? He was with those to whom he's speaking there in that passage. Teaching them. And by the time Peter has to answer those who had Jesus crucified, when he's been dragged before them, by the time that instance or that occurrence or that situation happens, he had had a lot of instruction from Jesus himself and from Jesus raised from the dead. 40 days, it says there in Acts 1. And we know that Peter continued to think about what Scripture said and trying to understand it. Because in Acts 1:15, it says, in those days, what days? The days between Jesus being taken up and the day on which the Holy Spirit came upon them. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. And he said, brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas. And he goes on to quote Scripture, what we would call the Old Testament, and he says, we need to pick another one to replace Judas. Now, regardless of whether or not he was supposed to have done that, whatever happened to the guy they replaced, you never hear from him again. You don't hear about a lot of the apostles again. The point being is that he was still mulling over the Scriptures and trying to understand them. So the idea that Luke 12:12 is a promise that you're going to get some kind of mystical download from the Holy Spirit and there's no need to study the Bible, it just doesn't hold water. It doesn't work. Not to mention the outright instruction you find in the letters, like Paul writing to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:15, he says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. He's calling Timothy to study, to make sure he understands what Scriptures are saying, that he then teaches them accurately, and at the same time, keeping a close watch on his life, that he would live in keeping with the truth about Jesus Christ. So it may sound spiritual that you don't need to study the Bible. Don't worry so much about doctrine and teaching and theology because the Holy Spirit will teach you. That may sound spiritual, but actually that isn't spiritual at all. That's false. What is spiritual, and the word spiritual means, biblically means, of or pertaining to the Spirit, what is spiritual is that a person is taught and learns and is continues to be taught and to learn. They receive further instruction. And the Holy Spirit uses that and works through that. That's a good thing, because you've all been involved in me working extra hard in the studies I've been involved in. You study your Bible, you go to Bible studies, you make these efforts, you listen to sermons, you podcast, you this cast and that. And is that a good thing? Is that a biblical thing? And the answer is yes. And we see that illustrated. Everyone loves the story. We love the narratives, right? We see that in Acts chapter 18 with a man named Apollos. Go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 18, we have not actually covered these verses in our going through Acts consecutively. We were right up to this point when I stopped our study of Acts in order to then preach this topical series. But in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, we are introduced to a man named Apollos. And what you're going to see is that Apollos had been taught, had been instructed, and the Holy Spirit was using him. And then he gets more instruction. He gets some more learning going on in his life. And the Holy Spirit uses him all the more in his speaking about Jesus Christ. Verse 24, Acts 18. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. He knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him, and he wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who, through grace, had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Pretty clear from this passage that when he shows up on the scene, he has already been instructed in the scriptures. He's competent in the scriptures. He apparently has a public speaking ability too. He's an eloquent man. Speaks clearly, easy to listen to.
Unlike me right now.
But he gets more instruction. Verse 26, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. That's hardly debatable. That's in the passage. There it is. He shows up on the scene. He already knows the scriptures, which of course in their language means what we call the Old Testament. He's been told about Jesus. He understands the baptism of John. I call John the Baptist. And so he's going around declaring Jesus to be the Messiah according to the scripture, the Old Testament scripture. Knows the scriptures, he's been instructed, but he needs more instruction. He gets it. He gets further instruction. He gets his doctrine, his theology, his understanding of what scripture teaches clarified for him. And what is the result? When he arrived, verse 27, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For, that's an explanatory word. How did he do that? How did he greatly help them? He powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Real simple, straightforward, there it is. Not too difficult. He was learned. He had been instructed. He got more learned. That's bad English, I know. He got more instruction. and he was used all the more. He was a greater blessing to God's people, speaking the truth clearly to those who didn't even believe. What does this have to do with the role, the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Well, even if the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned explicitly in this passage, if you've been together here on Sunday morning at all, hopefully by this time you would just say, that's easy, the context. Because in the book of Acts, and even in the Gospel of Luke, the Holy Spirit is again and again and again shown to be the one behind the ministry of the Word. The Holy Spirit is the one empowering and enabling the truth about Jesus Christ to go forth, to be proclaimed, to be spoken. Even with Jesus himself, Acts chapter 1, verse 2, Jesus instructed them by the Holy Spirit. And then he told them, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Then you will be my witnesses. Then you will testify to me. When Peter goes to speak, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he spoke. Stephen, a man known to be full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, a man known to be full of the Holy Spirit. That is said in the context of them speaking the truth of God's Word. So the first answer would be, well, we know that the Spirit is behind this because of the context of the book of Acts. And that is one thing I hope you've taken home through this whole series. The Holy Spirit has a unique role. He shines forth in the proclamation, the speaking about, and the proclaiming, and the telling of the truth about Jesus from the Scripture. When that takes place, he was there. He done it. It was him. But the spotlight gets upon Jesus, and the glory goes to the Father. That's the way the Trinity functions. So we could say from context that it's clear that this ministry is of the Holy Spirit. And this ministry increased when Apollos received further instruction. But the Spirit is explicitly mentioned in this passage. What does it say in verse 25? And being fervent in spirit. Every translation, we're reading English, translation, is interpretive. It has to be. No language goes across word for word and makes sense. In Greek, word order is almost thrown out the window. If you were to translate it directly, it wouldn't work. And what's the hardest time people have, or the biggest problem people have when they're learning a different language, is getting the sayings right. Remember the one time my father talked about, instead of a hairpin turn, he said a hair needle turn. My father-in-law was German. German was the original language. And I bust out laughing. I knew exactly what he meant. Of course, I have one child who's born in America, speaks English, and gets his or her sayings mixed up all the time, and it's so cute. But that's beside the point. Every translation is interpretive. The translation before you is interpretive. Why? Because it left out the article, the. It really reads, being fervent in the Spirit. It's also interpretive because if your translation like mine has Spirit in lowercase s, you read that and you assume it's talking about personal zeal. Like he had a personality where he was excited. And when he talked about the Scriptures, he was fervent in Spirit. That's not what it means. It's possible it could mean that, but it's very literal. Fervent in the Spirit. Will you see the Spirit in the book of Acts? You think of the Holy Spirit. Not every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned is the word holy put there. So again, context points to that meaning that Apollos was already speaking, stirred up by a work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, a very similar phrase appears in Acts chapter 6, verse 10, I believe, referring to Stephen. They weren't able to refute him because of the Spirit by which he spoke. You read that passage and you're not thinking, oh, it's all about Stephen and his personality, and he's a lively speaker. You know from the context, what we're looking at there is an acknowledgement that when Stephen spoke, it was by the Spirit. And that's what's going on here. The Spirit is explicitly mentioned in this passage. Even if he wasn't, by context, we would know that this ministry is a work of the Holy Spirit. But he is explicitly mentioned before he had his increased or further instruction, before he received more teaching, that he might more accurately understand the truth about Jesus. The result of which was, he greatly helped, for he powerfully refuted by the Scriptures. What's the point? What's the bottom line? What do we see here? That the Spirit uses, works through, increased understanding of the Bible. It may sound spiritual to say, why study? Why look at theology? Why doctrine? You've got the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. But how does He teach? Through the Word. Through people. That's the normal means. There's no mystical download. If someone else seems to have a great understanding of Scripture when they speak, you're blessed. Don't think that you're missing something because, hey, that just never happens for you. Get into the Word. Take advantage of these good preachers that you have access to through downloads and podcasts and audio. Learn as much as you can about what the Scriptures say, particularly about Jesus. That He is the one promised in the Old Testament. That He is Savior to Jew and Gentile alike, to the world. Particularly about what God is doing and what centers in on Jesus Christ and what is yet to come. Study as much as you are able, whether you're a public speaker, whether you'll teach anyone else or not. Learn. Take it in. Because that is spiritual. That is of the Spirit. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. Now, are there some who seem to have a lot of knowledge, know a lot of facts, a lot of doctrine, theology, maybe they even wrote a theology book, and you really don't want to talk to them? Yeah, there are. People can be puffed up in their knowledge, or have knowledge and there's no connect. But that doesn't make learning as much as you can about Jesus from the Bible unspiritual. Honestly, that's just an excuse to be lazy. That's what it is. And we here in the United States, with good translations of God's Word and free time and all the resources we have, we are that much more accountable. One of the biggest needs and areas where other men are ministering, like Ami, some of the brothers we met from the continent of Africa, is getting those who are teaching resources that you have access to from your easy chair in your heated home while you're sipping your latte. You will answer for that. I will answer for that. We will answer for that. We're not going to be judged as savable or not based upon that. Don't misunderstand me. But there's an accountability. If you've been entrusted, there's an expectation. We have been entrusted. Apollos wasn't walking around with multiple translations of the Hebrew Bible in his back pocket or on his smartphone. Access was so difficult and yet so easy for us. And so in creeps this lie of Satan. And the flesh loves it because we're lazy. Studying. That's of the flesh. That's human. That's man-centered. That's not spiritual. Just love Jesus. And the Spirit will teach you. That's unbiblical. That's unspiritual. I chose to close on this passage for a couple of reasons. One, I couldn't study enough last week to preach that last week. But then I thought, what a fitting close to a series related to further education. I've been to college, been to seminary, now I'm back to seminary. Why in the world are you doing that? Believe me, I've been asking myself that question over and over again. Why? This is why. I want to powerfully proclaim the truth about Jesus from the Scripture. And one of the things that every one of my professors, the pastors that came in, the preachers that came in, especially Lawson, said, you were never done learning. Not the Word of God or how to better proclaim it. And the moment you are done learning, you're done. Retire. It's clear from Scripture, and I love that we get a picture of it right here in Acts. Apollos pops on the scene. He's already a learned man. He knows the Scriptures. He's been taught in the way of the Lord. He's embraced the message of John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he preaches it boldly, but he needs to understand more better. And when he gets that more better understanding, when he's gotten some good learning under his belt, he goes out and he's used all the more. Jesus didn't say, don't study. He said, don't worry. Do you want to tell those who are lost, those who are separated from God and in darkness and going to end up separated from God eternally, you want to tell them about Jesus? Don't worry, but by all means, study. Can you rattle off the gospel quickly? Work at it. Memorize Scripture. Speak it. Don't worry, but work. Work hard. Be diligent that all may see your progress, both in your holding to the truth, in your speaking the truth, and in your life. Because studying the Bible to better know Jesus, to more clearly proclaim Him, that is spiritual. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, once again, your ways are not our ways and our thoughts are not your thoughts. We want you to do things the way we would have them done. Just download it to us. But no, you work through means. You work through imperfect people who proclaim your perfect word, though never perfectly. Just as you worked through your Son, who seemed to be weak, who seemed to have failed, who seemed to have been conquered, but was in fact triumphant. He died not for his sin, but for ours. And he stayed not dead, but you rose him from the grave. And you've raised him to your right hand until he returns to judge the living and the dead. Father in heaven, be merciful. Be persistent in turning us to your word. Continually. Stir in us a continued desire to know you and Jesus Christ from your word, and powerfully make him known through us to one another and to those who don't yet know, that they too might know the joy of being reconciled to you, that they too might know the only hope, the living hope, eternal life, forgiveness in Jesus. Father, may we be spiritual. By your
mercy and grace and to your glory. And we'd be people of your word, focused on your Son, reflecting your goodness more so every day. In Jesus' name, amen.